What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here with the Business Choreography Podcast, and I'm excited you joined me today because today we have a very special guest. Today we are joined by Dean Innes. Dean is the managing partner at Your Best Life, an organization helping people to elevate finance, family, fitness, and faith to maximize their best life through coaching. Coaching community, exclusive once-in-a-lifetime experiences. His unique background of business experience, law enforcement, martial arts, and economic analysis gives him a rare perspective that enables him to successfully guide entrepreneurs, CEOs, and other top executives to new heights. Guys, we're so lucky to have him here. We're so lucky to have him join us and share his wisdom and his knowledge from his journey. So let's cue the intro and we'll jump right in. Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast. Dean, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It is a pleasure to have you here.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to go through this. You know, when I was younger and still to this day, I love to dance. And so when I read the title of your podcast, I thought, you know, that's a terrific analogy to business because it seems like you have to be really flexible. You have to be fluid. All of those characteristics that belong in dance are also amazing in business. So I just thought I'd pass that along.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We come from an extensive background in dance, being former professional ballroom dancers. We've been around the block a couple of times in that regard, and we felt like the principles and the concepts were necessary to be able to bring to the business world that we gained from being championship level dancers. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. But enough about us. We've got to get in and talk about you. We want to find out more about your backstory, about your journey to get to here, because you have quite the colorful journey. And so I can't wait to share that with our audience. Why don't you start from the beginning as you'd like, and let's hear about how you got here doing these cool things that you're doing.
You know, I guess the reality is it starts really young. When I was 12, I stuttered a lot. And so I had some anger issues. And, you know, when you're in school, you think everybody's laughing at you and everything, and they're not really laughing at you. They're just laughing. But most of that stuff is in your head. And so I had some problems with it. And my dad said, you know, we're going to fix that because your mom's not going to have any other situations where you put your fist through a door. So I started martial arts, and martial arts has had a huge impact, not only on my business life, but my personal life and my growth, both in business and in physical growth. It's an amazing gift that I had terrific instructors. I studied five different styles ultimately and fought full contact karate amateur for 10 years.
Wow.
But really what happened was I learned a lot about discipline. I got control of my emotions, but it didn't help my stuttering. So at that point, my dad said, well, how are we going to fix this? So my dad was in the military. So it was pretty much, we were disciplined anyway, but how are you going to fix this? So I joined the speech team. And so I did poetry because you could memorize it and everything. And I was terrible. I was terrible. But I got better each time to the point where I actually decided that I could debate. And so my senior year in high school, I debated and ended up with a full ride debate scholarship to the University of Wyoming.
Wow.
And yeah, it just goes to show you, I think in business and in everything we do, if you attack a problem head on and you look for mentors, and I had great mentors, and you look for support, that you can accomplish amazing things. And for a kid that stuttered from Wyoming to end up with a full ride debate scholarship, who you know, to be quite honest, we were able to end up in the top 10 in the country, me and my partner. And so we had a good career. Helped me with my stuttering. I learned how to disconnect. What always happens when you stutter is your mind and your mouth, they get disconnected when you stutter. And so what really happened with me is I trained myself to keep the connection going. I still stutter to a degree, but nothing like it used to be. And I credit both my family and the outlook of attacking problems for head on to deal with that. So I went to college, got my degree in economics, and I wanted to be in the FBI. And this is in the middle of, I know that Obama called that last recession the Great Recession. Well, he was not accurate. When I got out of school in 85, we had a real recession. We had 17% mortgage rates, 13% unemployment, 11% inflation. And the government had a hiring freeze. So when I went out to get a job at the FBI, they weren't hiring. So I went local law enforcement because the sheriff in my town was a retired FBI agent, special agent in charge. So I thought that that would help. And they agreed. They said, you know, after a couple of years, we'll bring you on. So I did that for about a year, got paid about 15 grand a year, got shot at twice. And I decided that, you know, maybe banking was better. So I went to work for a national bank. And started my career in banking. But I will tell you that because my city took care of me, I did the reserves for 5 years for free. So I was a reserve deputy for 5 years. I worked on weekends and in evenings to help out the department. And I got to do some great things. You know, when you're not a member of the regular department, you get to do the drug buys and the no-knock warrants and all the fun stuff. And they had to write the report. So, you know, that part of it was really fun. But I was able to get back to the city that gave me the opportunity in the first place. And I think that that's another core that I have. And that is whenever you gain, take time to give back. And so I was able to do that. And I was in great opportunities to do that. I had my career in banking start off. I did really well. Up until about I got transferred around a little bit and I came back to my home city, and the branch was struggling. The manager had not been successful. And so I was there for 6 months and I'd had success in my other operations. And in this operation, I wasn't having success and I was beating myself up. And then I get a call from the district manager in Denver. He says, I need you to drive down to see me at 8 o'clock tomorrow. So I drove. It's a 2-hour drive.
Oh my gosh.
So the whole 2 hours, you're like, oh my God, what am I going for? And sure enough, I walk in the door and he says, have a seat. He said, you know, we had pretty high expectations, but you're not really meeting those. And I got to tell you, if you don't get it turned around in 6 months, we're going to let you go. Wow. Little did he know that I could reach over the desk and kick him in the head. And I thought about it for about 30 seconds, but I got composure and I drove back, and you know, I was analyzing why I had failed and what I was doing and what I needed to do. And I realized I had left some of the core principles that I believed in, and that was elevating the performance of everyone around you always elevates your performance. Right. And so when I got back, I started having better vendor relationships. I started doing more in the real estate community. I started doing all kinds of stuff. And within a year, I was in the top 10% of the company. And I went on a trip because you got to go on trips. And the district manager was there and he said, you know why we brought you there? You know why I had you come to Denver? He said, if I wanted to fire you, I wasn't going to give you 6 months. I would have fired you. He said, I know you needed some change in direction and some lurch. And I said, gee, thanks. I'm not really appreciative, but I understand what you're saying. So, you know, these challenges come up in your life. And the thing keeps happening for me is that you just face it. You just face it. You know, I read a book a while back called Swallow the Frog First.
Right.
And that's what you do. You know, when the worst thing in your day happens, you take care of it right away, the rest of your day is great. And so I did that with my life. I did that with martial arts. I did that with the stuttering, and I did that with business. And so I ended up being very successful in that operation, taking me from Cheyenne all the way down to El Paso, Texas, and took over a branch here, met my wife, and getting married to a woman from El Paso is like the largest anchor that the Titanic had, because you're not moving once you get here. But again, I was very lucky. The people here are remarkable, and I had a very, really good career. I went through, I worked with that bank all the way up until 99, and I got recruited by a national mortgage bank out of San Diego, and I took that opportunity after a long time and considering it, because it was 100% commission situation, and I'd been corporate all the way up, and I thought to myself, excuse me. I thought to myself that, you know, I've been very conservative. If I'm going to do something like this, I'll do it. And one of the best moves I ever made. I got to use everything I learned, and I went into a business where I got to go into other businesses and teach them about their business, teach them about how I could help them. And I quadrupled my income in 3 years. And it was a really great thing. And I had the best team, and it was a great company to work for. And things were going great. Then my wife and I had my son in 2004, and it was a terrific gift. And so I thought, you know, I'm traveling all over and everything. And I said, you know, I got to be a parent. So I was looking around, and I got recruited by the largest mortgage bank in West Texas to be the president and COO. And I fought it for about 9 months. And then I decided I needed to be home. So I took the job. That job that I had was terrific. I build a lot of my clients' operations based on what I learned from that bank and from what I learned from that operation, because they really understood employee engagement. They understood management. They understood helping people put them in the position to do their very best job, giving them the tools to do that. And so they put me in that position, and I ended up, when I left, I was the number one account executive in the country, and in El Paso, Texas. Wow. Which they had never had success here in El Paso before. So I guess it was a combination of me and them, but I learned a lot. And like I said, I had great mentors, and gave me some very good insights. So I took over the mortgage bank. I really didn't want to go back to that, because it was a large staff, and, you know, it was sometimes dealing with adult daycare. But I ended up going through the whole situation with this bank. They did commercial lending. They did residential lending. And we serviced a lot of government financing on the residential home market. So I was able to go through the whole system. And I went to the board, and I said, hey, I think that you could do double your production. And the guys that own this shop had run it for 23 years. And they said, you're smoking crack. You're not gonna, we can't double the operation in 4 years. And I said, yeah, we can. So I did that at a board meeting, and they all laughed, but they were pretty smart guys. So they came back at the next board meeting, and they said, you know what? We think we're going to give you the opportunity to prove that. And I said, great. What do I get? And they said, well, if you do those things, you're going to get $1 million bonus, which, you know, was a pretty good thing. But when I negotiated coming on board, I negotiated my fair deal. I mean, I got a piece of the action. I was always paid for performance after that. So I had a decent salary, but my big end was on generating revenue for the company, and I got a piece of that. So when I went back to the employees, they laughed at me too when I announced we had these four goals that we were going to hit. One of them was to deliver $1 billion in servicing, which is, they were at 500 million. So we were going to do $1 billion in 4 years. And so everybody laughed. But I said, you know, I just want you to know that in this particular case, The board offered me $1 million bonus to get this done. And the way I'm going to get this done is by sharing that bonus on an equal basis with any employee that's been here 5 years. So if you're a cashier that's been here 5 years, you're going to get the exact same bonus as the president does. I got their attention. So we were able to, I train the employees at a different level. I believe that if I could get 10% more productivity out of every employee, that would help me. I went to our vendors, our businesses, and I elevated their performance. I trained in their businesses. I trained my sales team. And sure enough, we hit all four goals with time to spare. We got the $1 million bonus paid to all the employees. They were very happy. And we had a very successful run. I was only going to work there for 10 years. I ended up staying about 13. I think I should have probably left about 2 years earlier, but it was a great situation because it met my needs. And that was to do well for that team, but also to be a father. And I got to coach my son's baseball team, his football team. We went to every event. And so that flexibility was invaluable to me. And I think that those are some of the highlights of my career. And now when I retired about 4.5 years ago, I got the opportunity. Somebody said, you know, you've been coaching for 36 years. You should keep doing that. And so I started doing some executive consulting, and I coach businesses at every level. I have skincare in Miami. I have companies in Canada, South America. So I get to coach people all over the world, and it's exciting. And I get to teach them about scaling, about all kinds of things, because in my banking career, I got to review a lot of businesses. I got to help a lot of businesses succeed. I saw a lot of businesses fail, and I learned a lot. And between that and my economics, I have a pretty good idea of how to fix things. And then you introduce discipline and scalability and accountability, and you can change the course of businesses. And I've had some really exciting success stories over the last year, and it's been great.
Wow. What a journey, and what a winding, crazy road. They always are. And it's I think it's important that those listening understand, like, where you're at is probably just perfect for where you need to be. And you probably just need to take a look at where you're wanting to go and make your adjustments, you know? And I think that's huge. I'd like to talk a little bit more about your best life. Tell me what that's about, because obviously that's about the coaching that you're doing now and the things that you're undertaking in your retirement.
You know, it's funny, I retired, but now I have 9 businesses. So your best life is, you know, what I tell people through their careers is that if you're interested in money, I'm not going to coach you. If you're interested in choice, I'll coach you and I'll teach you how money is a tool to get you there. But if your focus is on money, I really don't do that. I teach people how to be financially successful to have choice. And my dad died when, right before I left my job at the bank. And he was one of the reasons I left. He died at 57. He was younger than I am currently now. We were 21 years apart. He was a typical American, you know, he had his own business, very successful, but didn't plan for his future, didn't have a lot of debt, but didn't have a lot of security. And so when he passed away of cancer, it really opened my eyes and changed my proximity to my goals. And so I changed all my goals. And one of those goals was to make sure that my family at age 50 would never have to worry about anything. And so I did that through, I diversified my portfolio. I was very conservative in my work, in my, you know, spending. And when I hit 50, I put all of those things in place. And the freedom it gave me was that now I could do things that are fun. So your best life now is fun. It's fun because I get to work with people I choose to work with. They're successful entrepreneurs that want to go to the next level. And when I say that, that means they're open to coaching. a lot of people that need coaching are not open to it. A lot of people that want coaching won't listen. They won't take the action steps. They won't use the discipline necessary to get to their best success. And the group I work with now, they are the exception to that. We have about 60 members. We're going to cap it at about 100. I coach on a regular basis through the week through Zoom. And then we have 4 trips a year. And these trips are set up with huge content. I just told you I got back from Dubai last night. And that trip was amazing. We had Todd Buchholz. He's the economic advisor to the Bush administration. He wrote 9 best-selling books. And he ran a $15 billion hedge fund. And he was one of our speakers. I was another one of our speakers. And then we had a professor from a local Dubai university there speaking. And we brought enormous content to our staff, and I mean to our group. And they left with benefit of understanding the global economy. Then we trickled to the U.S. economy, talked a little politics and the impact it would have on our businesses. And then we talked about action items. And so I really try to bring enormous value to our people so that they can continue to grow and elevate their performance in their businesses. And the preface for setting this up was not about the 3 partners and the 3 speakers. It was really about the community and the brain trust that lives in that community of entrepreneurs. So we share an enormous amount of ideas and everything. And I think that that's given us an added layer of success. We started this in December of 20, right in the middle of COVID. And we were a little bit of aggressive. We started traveling in March of 21, and right in the middle of COVID. We went to Costa Rica. Then we went to Greece when it was a red country. We did these things and we had a great time. I mean, we do content, but then at the end of the day, we do community development. And so we do experiences in every community that we go to that are curated by my team, which I think is the best team on the planet. We went to the Burj Khalifa. We went to Abu Dhabi. We did all kinds of stuff that we shared together and got to. We went to a desert retreat where we saw how the Bedouins live. We got to eat authentic meals, and we saw dancing, and we got to ride camels, and we did. It's exciting for me because I'm an owner, but sometimes I'm like along for the ride. And that's what choice is all about, right? Deciding who you want to be with and having fun. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I have several other companies that are involved in real estate. I have a company that does some biohacking that we're getting ready to open a franchise in Austin, Texas. I have a company that I'm a partner in renewable energy in Fort Collins, Colorado. So I'm a little bit all over the place, but I'm having a lot of fun. And I've learned how to automate a lot of my businesses. So that's what I teach people. How to build a business as if you're going to sell it, whether you sell it or not, which means, you know, you design the business with standard operating procedures, with job descriptions, with skill sets to match those job descriptions, with a business flow chart that shows everyone in your business how the business works. You have alignment. So you talk about, and I hate mission statements, but you talk about what your company is there to do. What's your value proposition? And you share that with everybody in your company. And if your receptionist knows how valuable they are to that company, then they show it. And everybody in the company shows it. And if you give them the tools to be successful in the job that you hired them for, and you train them and you support them, then businesses tend to be a lot more successful. And I talk about how you build a business as if you're going to sell it. Ultimately, businesses that are built that way have much higher multiples, because then you're extracting you as the talent. You're putting everything in the business so that it's turnkey, and that multiple goes up enormously. And the beauty of it is, if you don't want to sell it, you've already extracted the talent, and it's just passive income. So either way, it's a win. So I, you know, I share those messages with our group, and I share them. I do speaking engagements around the country too. But I really feel like we don't teach the stuff we should be teaching in school. And I'm talking high school and college. And I think if we start teaching that stuff, we're going to be a lot more successful.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, talk to us a little bit about what it's like to get in your world and how people can find you and be able to connect.
Well, our website is really good. It's www.yblnow.com. And the beauty of this website is it shares some of our past experiences so you can get a feel for what these trips are like. And then it shares testimonials from our clients so you can get a feel for what they get from us as coaching. And then it also has an application process so that if you're interested, you can apply. But I have an Instagram. I'm not as active as I should be, but they're really whipping me into shape. So in the next 6 months, I'm going to be a lot more active. I'm on Facebook at Dean Innes. I'm on Instagram at DJ_Crusade. And that is, that goes back to my dad. My dad was, you know, he grew up with the Canterbury Tales and King Arthur and stuff like that. So when I took that handle, I wanted to pay homage to my dad because he was instrumental in my growth in so many ways, and I miss him. But so that's why I did that. And then, you know, Your Best Life also has Your Best Life Now also has an Instagram page, and we share coaching stuff and everything. They share clips with me and stuff like that. So that's on there. But to be fair, if you want to reach out to me, my email address is dean@yblnow.com. And I do review that and respond to those things. And, you know, it's exciting times. Like I said, we don't go out and advertise because we want to keep our membership very intimate to 100, but we do have need for 25 to 35 new members. And if you look at that website, you're going to see some exciting things that, you know, people in general don't have access to. And I credit my team for putting those things together. And I'm very blessed to have the knowledge and the experience to help these people get to their goals. And like I said, I had mentors, so it fell really comfortably for me to do this at this point in my life.
I love it. That's great. Well, we sure appreciate you coming and sharing your journey and your story with us and some of the great insight. Before we let you go, I want to ask, you know, if you can leave us with some great words of wisdom for the road.
You know, if I were to talk to people, I think that the challenge for business right now, both internationally and nationally, is our labor force. And I think we're not creating skilled laborers. As a matter of fact, I listened to our Democratic senator here in El Paso, and we've had about 8 million illegal immigrants cross the border. And she's okay with it because she says, well, we have about 8 million jobs to fill. And the problem with that is that 6 million of those jobs are skilled labor. So they're not going to fill those jobs. And what we really need to look forward to are things like AI, robotics, the understanding of how we can mesh those with human talent. And we do need to mesh those with human talent. AI is not the end all be all. We need compliance with AI. We need understanding of AI. We need to understand that AI is a scenario based, not necessarily decision based. And one of the falls of our country is that we're anxious to turn everything over to somebody to make decisions. And I think what we owe ourselves and our labor pool is training to get people up and ready for what's coming. And it is coming. So 85% of the jobs coming are going to fall in that skilled labor force. And I recommend people, if they have good employees in their company, to look at retraining and reskilling those people, because I think it's a valuable asset. And I think we're going to have to do that regardless. And if you have people that you can proactively start improving their game, and like you said, if you immerse yourself in game theory, you start looking at what's coming, how we should strategically plan for it, what we can do for the people that are in our company that have showed us great loyalty. Those things will bear the fruits when everybody else is running and trying to find the labor that they need. So the words of wisdom I would give you is start looking ahead, start getting some skill sets in place, and look for those employees in your group that you can take care of and augment their skills, because they'll appreciate it and your business will grow from it.
I love that. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for joining us today. And Dean, we appreciate you so much for being here. As usual, keep choreographing your business, all parts of your business. Don't slack off on any area. It's a necessary thing to make the show come together. So Absolutely. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Thank you so much, Dean. And
thank you, Michael.
Out there, take care.
Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us today.
Want more business choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.